Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the Pfizer third quarter 2014-15 results analyst teleconference. We have with us today Mr. Ejaz Tobakowala, Managing Director, and Mr. S. Sridhar, Finance Director. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ejaz Tobakowala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2014-15 results call for Pfizer Limited. I have with me on the call Sridhar, our finance director, who will be taking you through some of the results a little later. As you're aware, Wyeth Limited has amalgamated with Pfizer Limited effective December 1, 2014. The appointed date of the merger is April 1, 2013. In terms of the scheme of amalgamation, Pfizer allocated and issued 15,906,292 equity shares of rupees 10 each to the shareholders of Wyeth Limited. Accordingly, the paid-up equity share capital of Pfizer now stands increased to rupees 45.75 crores. The company has already completed all the necessary steps to ensure a seamless transition and integration of Wyeth into Pfizer. With the conclusion of the merger process, all employees of Wyeth are now part of Pfizer Limited. As a result of the merger, Pfizer now has a significantly stronger portfolio of offerings across a wider therapeutic universe. Importantly, the company now debuts its offerings in vaccines with India's largest vaccine brand and builds a robust presence in the areas of women's healthcare with a portfolio that includes some of the best known brands in oral contraception and folic acid supplements. I hope that by now you would have seen the published results. The results of the current quarter and 9 months are of the merged entity and are not comparable, and Sridhar will take you through some of these nuances as he talks about the numbers. Let me talk about some of the broader updates of the pharma industry itself. With respect to to IMS data, the India pharma market growth for MAT December 14 is at 11%, and this is of course the IMS data, and the industry is at 87,235 crores. There is an improvement in MNC's performance as per IMS over the last three quarters. So it's gone from 3.3% for MAT June 14, 5.3% for MAT September 14, and 6.5% for MAT December 14. Pfizer Limited, as per IMS, is growing better than other MNCs, and they have reported Pfizer's growth at 7.6% December MAT 14 as opposed to 6.5 for the MNCs. A couple of other areas that are certainly things that we are tracking, the biggest one being the NLEM revision. So the process for the revision of the National List of Essential Medicines by the government is in its last leg, having completed the national consultation process. There exists a potential for an expansion of the list, which may lead to additional drugs, both for Pfizer and certainly for the industry, being included into the new NLEM, and thereby bringing into its ambit a higher level of price control. We, directly and through associations, are in the process of submitting representations stating our views on this expansion. On the codeine front, there continues to be very stringent regulatory controls. The impact has spread over various geographical areas and major locations. Impacted include Bihar, West Bengal, Orissa, and Rajasthan. We are working with the various regulatory authorities to resolve their concerns one by one. Another area that the government has taken up is on patented pricing policy. So the work on devising a new patented policy has started as of Jan of 2015, and an interministerial panel has been set up by the government. The government has not yet firmed up its position on the pricing models, but is certainly looking at all options. Another effort that has started is on the IPR policy, which I'm sure you've seen has been in the news quite a bit. The government has floated a draft national policy and has sought comments from various stakeholders. We see several positives in the policy, such as fast-track courts for IP cases, but at the same time, the policy at the moment does not adequately address some of the industry's main concerns pertaining to enforcement of IP, some clarity on guidelines, such as compulsory licensing, when it would be invoked, etc. We will continue to suggest a balanced IP policy that acknowledges the need to create an environment that both encourages innovation and certainly in the pharma side of the portfolio while meeting the needs of the country. Another area that has been under attention is the Uniform Code of Pharmaceutical Marketing Practices, or UCPMP, as it's been called. And it's been made effective as of January 1, 2015, with the code being voluntary for the first 6 months. We certainly welcome the introduction of this code, and if you've been following any of the efforts of OPPI and the code that the companies who belong to OPPI follow, you will see a lot of similarity between the two codes, which are built more on the international level of what is okay and what is not. However, the code as currently written has some areas that are unclear, and we are working through the association with the relevant authorities to gain some clarity on its implementation. On the Thane plant side, there really is no update at the moment on the Thane plant. I'm going to now hand over to Sridhar to talk to you about the results in more detail.
Thank you, Jess. Hello, everyone. This quarter, like Jess said, the performance is of the combined entity. And as per the listing agreement, the comparative figures of previous year have to be standalone Pfizer Limited, and therefore the current quarter results and the 9-month performance for the same period last year is not comparable. Further, we have got merger-related expenses, we have some one-off expenses, and some incremental expenses in this quarter, which also resulted in the numbers being a little distorted. The previous year quarter also includes certain sales in relation to some of our erstwhile animal health products to Zoetis. That also to some extent impacts the sales numbers. In terms of Wyeth merger, this is the first quarter post the merger results. We have accounted for the merger under the purchase price accounting method. The appointed date being April 1, 2013, the profit for Wyeth for the period 13-14 and the effect of depreciation amortization for the period till March 2014 will be reflected in the annual statement of profit and loss when you see in the next quarter when you publish it. The purchase consideration is about 1,314 crores, of which the goodwill, including intangibles, is about 1,086 crores, which will get amortized over a 10-year period. The previous quarter and the 9 months period include sales of animal health products, like I told you, that we have stopped supporting effective quarter 4, 2013-14. This quarter, we have some significant one-off and incremental expenses, amounted about 43-odd crores, out of which 15-odd crores is predominantly in relation to stamp duty on the transfer undertaking and the increase in offer share capital. There's an 8 crores accrual we have made for some VAT litigation with the government of Maharashtra. We are in litigation with the government, but on a conservative basis, we have made this accrual. As you all know, we have acquired a new office in BKC area. Under the accounting standards, we took possession from August 14, and hence the straight lining of expense starts. Hence, this quarter sees the expense of about 7-odd crores coming in for the quarter, and the other merger-related other one-off expenses coming in for about 13-odd crores. Of the about 43-odd crores, 36 crores are non-recurring in nature. If you look at revenues, what I will do from now on is try and give you a comparison of offline like-to-like comparison combining a Wyeth results for the same period last year just for ease of understanding, though the published results don't reflect that. Revenues, which includes Wyeth numbers the previous year, will reflect a revenue of 465 crores and 1371 crores for 9-month period, which is a growth of 16% and 14% respectively. It's a fairly healthy growth what we've had in the quarter and for the YTD. Profit from operations on a like-to-like basis, excluding merger-related expenses and depreciation stroke amortization arising on amalgamation, would reflect a growth of 16% for the quarter and 20% YTD 9 months. Now, unfortunately, given the merger-related expenses and quite a few one-offs, you don't see this in published results. Therefore, I called it out separately. If I really look at revenues in detail, all brands have grown well, except for Corex. Like Jad said, we're having some challenges in Corex in some parts of the country, so therefore that is resulting in subdued performance. If I ignore Corex for the time being, the growth for the quarter will reflect 19%. So therefore, the Corex is what brings down to about 16% growth. Otherwise, we thought Corex is 19% growth out here. Premnad has done really, really well. It's growing. It has clocked all high records in this quarter. Other operating income, though, reflects a decrease of 25 crores on a like-to-like comparison, that is, including Wyeth numbers, would increase by about 4 crores. Material cost, though, reflects an increase of 98 crores on a like-to-like basis, would be a 194 crores, which is 41.8% of sales versus 43.1% same period last year. If I remove the animal health impact, which is sitting in the last year quarter, the current quarter will be 41.8 versus same period last year 41.4, which is very similar. The employee benefits has seen a movement. It reflects a 44 crores increase. But on a like-to-like comparison, it will be 62 crores, which is 13.5% of sales, versus 53 crores, which is 13% of sales, which is higher by about 9-odd crores. The increase is predominantly due to accrual for higher sales incentive, given our performance has been very strong. We have higher accruals for our incentives. As you remember, same period last year, we had loss of sales because of trade boycott, and therefore our sales were subdued same period last year. In terms of other expenses, though it reflects an increase of 84 crores in quarter three, on a like-to-like comparison, it will be 157 crores, which is 33.7% of sales versus 29.1% of sales, higher by 39 crores. Like I said earlier, merger-related expenses, VAT demand accrual, higher promotional expenses have resulted in overall higher expenses in the current quarter. And the new office expenses also has come in this year, this quarter. Other income is predominantly impacted by lower interest income due to payment of interest or payment of dividend last year, and hence other income is lower. We have reflected certain amount as exceptional expenses. That's predominantly expense in relation to a Thane plant on account of the VRS what we offered. Just to summarize, it's very difficult to understand the results on the face of it, but if we really, really strip out these one-offs and exceptions, our underlying performance reflects a very strong top-line and bottom-line growth. And that's the reason why I've taken some time to explain a like-to-like comparison for you to understand better. With this, happy to take on any questions on the results and on the business.
Thank you, sir. Participants, we will now begin with the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question, you may press star and 1. We have the first question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Congrats on a good set of numbers on a comparable basis. Now, what I would like to understand is if I'm looking at your other operating income, it has come down pretty sharply. And, I mean, if I'm correct, this is typically considered to be a recurring part of the business. What is the reason for it coming down and how do we see that going forward?
So, other operating income, like for example, if you really look at it on a published basis, it'll be difficult for you to really understand because the previous year includes all the wire income what we receive, cross charges, etc. and all. So you have to ignore all that and look at it. Now on a comparative basis, on our other operating income, I'll just give you the exact numbers what we have. It will actually reflect, like I said, it will reflect actually a 4 crores increase on a period-on-period basis.
And this will be the run rate going forward? I mean, if you are taking this 4 crores as an increase?
Yes. All the one-offs have been taken off there. This is fairly a good enough number going forward.
Okay. The impact was primarily on the previous year, or is it primarily on account of this year?
No. This is other operating income you're asking me, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, what's your question?
No. The other operating income includes the pop in the previous year, which is why it's showing a depressed amount this year. This is what
yes,
you're saying.
Because of the wire service income.
Sure.
Yeah,
I got it.
Yeah. I'm sorry. This quarter results are going to be difficult for you to understand on the face of it. And therefore, I have to go through this like comparison offline.
Yeah, and just another question. I mean, if I'm looking at, I mean, we were even, you know, prior to the amalgamation of Wyatt, most of the operations were kind of integrated. I mean, we had seen some of the employees coming from Wyatt and, you know, marketing the products.
Yeah.
I mean, now we are talking about the synergies in terms of product offerings.
Yeah.
So what has really changed from there to now?
No. So what Jazz was referring to is, we are publishing results as a standalone company in terms of revenues as a legal entity. Now, when you look at it as a combined legal entity, the portfolio is far more consolidated. So you've got a vaccine portfolio which is growing well for us. Women's health is going well for us. So it results a combined portfolio as a revenue growth. So when you see a 16-17% top line growth, it's a result of the merger coming together, both the companies with different portfolios coming together.
And to add to that, Sudarshan, right, I mean, we'd always said always up front, even when we'd spoken about bringing the companies together, that this was not being done because we expected some high-level synergies associated with operating as one. But there are certainly some benefits purely in terms of being able to talk about it as a single company, to make sure our employees sort of belong to a single unit at the end of the day because they were two separate set of companies. And then certainly allowing us to honestly focus on a single listed company versus having to do all the effort that came as two parts, including the calls we've been doing. But at the core of it, right, it's not like we've gone through any structural changes per se as part of this change.
And on Wyatt, if I'm just looking at the numbers of Wyatt for the last 6 to 7 quarters, I mean, there was a period where Wyatt had an impact of, you know, the dollar impacting and then we moved to, you know, rupee-based pricing and Wyatt has actually started to improve its margins considerably. Now, considering the NLEM impact, I'm just comparing your peak of, say, 33% EBITDA margins versus I think now you're doing, you know, close to about, you know, closer to 20%. Do we see a little bit more juice in terms of, you know, getting Wyatt's numbers, you know, towards 30% or more or less are we there in terms of harnessing the benefits from the cost on the Wyatt side?
See, there is nothing called Wyatt side now. I always said that Wyatt was higher EBITDA, Pfizer was lower EBITDA. Combined basis on a short term, which you have 22%, that's what we are currently, if you knock off all the one-offs, etc., what you had in merger expenses. That was always a short term on average odd basis. Our revenue size is far bigger than the Wyatt size. Therefore, the weighted average, it brings it down slightly. So, therefore, 34 is unrealistic to get in there at all. On a long-term basis, yes, definitely given our top line performing better. We have, over the last couple of years, we have really focused on our cost control. We have rationalized our field forces optimized now. We have optimized our portfolio. So therefore, we have really over the last 2 years tried to focus on that aspect of it. Now we are seeing a top line giving us far more growth there. That should flow into the bottom line. So we feel that on a short-term basis, 22 is good enough. On a long-term basis, around 25 is what we are looking at.
And the only nuance to that, Darshan, obviously being whatever happens with pricing control going forward, right? This is all assuming that the market remains reasonably stable for some period of time.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I'll join back to you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have the next question from the line of Girish Bakru from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just on the pharma side, can you give some more color on launches and particularly on Zalcori launch, how is this particular product, say, shaped for you in future and this product is patented?
We are evaluating the launch in any case. It has not been launched in India at this stage, Girish.
Okay, because the data is still, yes, we showed some data on that particular product, I don't know.
Not in India.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a Pfizer Inc. global product. It has not been launched in India.
But then, so in the pipeline sense, how many products are, say, due in next 12 months?
Sorry, say that again, Girish.
In terms of pipeline, say, how many products we can see launching from the parent pipeline in next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, we honestly, Girish, we don't project out to what it might be because there are lots of considerations that come into play, including, you know, sort of the approvals over here, including, you know, whether there's a value proposition for those products in India. So at the moment, we don't have that as a projection.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vishal Shah from Alad Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Can you quantify the amortization figure which is included in the Q3 depreciation number as well as the nine-month number of 97 crores?
29 crores.
So 29 is within the Q3 and the 9 month?
90 crore. You can multiply by 3.
Okay, yeah, around 9. So this is something which would be per quarter thing from here on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And just on the rental, you mentioned the 43 crores, which includes the 7 crores for the new office.
Yeah.
Now, this would be a recurring expense from April onwards. But as of now, how much are you paying per quarter for the old office?
Old office are paying close to about 2.5 crores.
Okay, so that will go away from April. And can you just talk a bit on Corex, like what has been the decline? And you mentioned in the initial remarks that it has been spread over to other regions also. So what initiatives are being taken that, you know, this stabilizes over?
So basically, there are new regulations coming in for selling of codeine, not for the company, but for the trade. So there are a lot of formalities being put in place for trade to comply with it, and which is making trade slightly nervous. And therefore, there will be a little slowdown on purchases. The schedule H1 came in, that created some level of disturbance there. Now certain states are putting additional requirements for trade to comply with, which is still being debated. Like Bihar is virtually shut because that regulation is very stringent, and if there's any kind of miss on that, then the punishment is under a Narcotics Act, which is straightaway jail. There's no excuse there. So therefore, there's a nervousness around there. Some regulations is coming in Orissa on debate on whether this combination price control or not. We're still disputing with them. Calcutta has come out with some West Bengal new notification asking for new compliance for keeping certain level of data. So that's created some amount of uncertainty in those markets there. So therefore, sales have gone slow, including Rajasthan to some extent there. So we are, I was in Calcutta yesterday trying to talk to the authorities there. So we are trying to reach out to the authorities and find a solution. We are also trying to reach out to the central government and find out, rather than having each state trying to form a matter on this, can the central government issue some guideline which can be uniformly followed across all the states. So we are in touch with various state and central government to formulate on this regard.
Okay, so as of 9 months, what's the size of Corex in the total portfolio?
So currently, it's about 240 crores.
Okay.
Yeah. Roughly for the full year, we expect close around 2 crores for the full year. And for 9 months, we're clocked over 152 crores.
Okay. And just on the same on Bakersfield, how has been the growth trends in Bakersfield for the 9 months?
Bakersfield, I would not really... For the full year basis, 9 months we are reasonably okay. But like I said, because it also has this period where we have certain trade schemes, etc., which goes in. So therefore, a spike in a particular quarter is not the trend going forward. We have recorded a very strong growth for 9 months. But like we have had some couple of trade schemes during this year. So therefore, you see that. Otherwise, because it has some challenges per se on the complex per se in terms of slowdown in the market. But we are fighting the battle there.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, for any question, please enter *1 on your touchtone telephone. We have the next question from the line of Krunal Shah from Amideep Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, one bookkeeping question. The 43 crore expense that you mentioned, one off, was it YTD or for Q3 only?
No, 43 is not one off. Out of which I said about 36 odd is one-off.
Mm-hmm.
Balance will be recurring.
Okay.
And that's for the quarter.
That's for the quarter. Can you give me the YTD number if there's any?
So YTD number would be roughly about 50 odd crores, out of which 10 odd crores will be recurring.
Okay, 10 recurring. Okay. Yeah. The next question that I have is, sir, that can you give me the number in terms of ballpark percent for our portfolio under price control currently?
12%
12%, okay. And, sir, do we see any further synergy benefit? As in, we have already you know, made our sales team and rationalized our sales team and operations before the merger only. But any further merger benefit that we see coming forward?
Very nominal. It's basically in terms of compliance costs, which is got into one single company, and two compliance costs of two companies.
Mm.
So that's the only thing which you will see. But to a large extent, I would not really look at it because, for example, this office which are current, which we have for Wire,
mm.
we will be surrendering it, but we'll be moving on to a little more expensive, broader office. So you know, it gets offset completely, but. Just for our question, other than the basic compliance cost, you will not see any major synergy benefits.
Okay. And any change in the dividend policy going forward, or it will still be the same?
No. It's not same as what we did last year for sure.
Yeah.
That's the exception. We are fairly conservative company, so we do not believe in a fairly aggressive policy per se.
Okay. Okay. And could you quantify the quarterly sales of Prevnar, if possible?
We have clocked around 65-70 crores.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jatin Kotian from MT Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So a couple of questions. First is, I don't know if I got the number right, but you mentioned that you would like to take the EBITDA margin to 25% over the longer term. Is that correct?
That's right.
And so then, what do you think would drive this expansion in margin, and over what, roughly what time period is this goal to take the number up?
Okay, so one, I say 25% is without any kind of impact of any potential pricing policy which will come in. That
sure.
I don't know, you don't know, I don't know, so therefore.
Yeah, sure.
Second, what we're saying, the reason why we feel we'll get to that number is we are seeing a good traction in our top five brands' performance over the last year or 2 years. Our mix is improving, our top brands are growing well. So that itself should give us the leverage. Therefore, 22% is currently what we're clocking on. That top brand growth should give us our additional 3%.
Okay, and this is over next, 12 to 18 months?
I would say at least over next 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years, okay.
Yeah.
That's it from me, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the floor back to Mr. Ajaz Tabakawala for any closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for calling in. And gives me great pleasure to now not have to open the Wyatt call for commentary. We appreciate, as always, your questions and your support of the company, and we look forward to talking to you next quarter. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Pfizer, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.